Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
So many questions still unanswered. As part of the Hump Show and Ask Amy Anything, it seems like we never get to them all, but I appreciate that you keep sending them, and I do go back on Wednesdays because, you know, I've got so much time on my hands. I want to spend more time on social media. I do go back on Wednesdays and answer as many questions as I can succinctly. So some of the ones that need a novel or require a story, I don't always get to, but I will answer. Like, for instance, I saw this one. What's your favorite season? It does require a bit of an explanation, but we're going into it. Coming up, couple of days, we officially enter autumn, which is my favorite season for all of the F words. You can figure it out. Ron wants to know whether or not I'm into cars. Not really, but I do like a Mustang, but I'm not really into cars much. That's not something I share with the general populace, or definitely not with my hubs. So there are lots of questions I can answer quickly. Tyler wants to know who's going to be in the Super Bowl and who will win. That I'm not going to answer. I'm pretty sure he's trolling us, though, Pete. Do you think he was doing that on purpose?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of trolls when we do this every week.
Well, and if you ask inappropriate questions, you sometimes get banned. So fair warning. But I'll get to them on Wednesday afternoon when I have an opportunity after I awaken, because Wednesday is a sleep day. Wednesday's football weekend and it's a sleep day. So I do try to actually sleep a whole 8 hours.
It's your Saturday.
Well, yeah, yes, kind of. You know what I'm saying. It's just the break in between football weekends. But we're already getting ready for week number three, of course. It happens that quickly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. 855-212-4227 or online at A-Law Radio, plus our Facebook page. You all are a lot of fun. Okay, not all of you. Most of you are a lot of fun. At least no one to this point has yet posted online, I've searched for you on the internet. I know how much money you make. Nope, can't take that twice in one day. Got that question at the grocery store. Don't need to see it on social. I wonder if I should have just responded in kind to the man. Well, I've searched for you on the internet, and I know how much money you make. You think that would have chased him away?
Right back.
Right back at you.
That's what I think Marco was saying it too. Throw it right back in, right at him. Ask him questions. Ask him for money, like you said.
From now on. Oh, these are all suggestions we're getting on social media. So thank you and good morning to you. It's a Wednesday here on After Hours. And as I say, it's the calm before the storm of week number three. But we do know we'll have a few changes coming up when football kicks off again. And it's Patriots and Jets on Thursday night, and then the full slate coming up on Sunday. But we found a few people reacting to what is one of the big changes, the Carolina Panthers benching Bryce Young just a few games into his career in the NFL. Remember last year he was brought in with Frank Reich. Frank did sit him down for one game because of an ankle, and then Frank got Das Boot and Bryce continued on kind of, but it was more about waiting. It was about who gets hired next and what type of system and what do I have to adjust and where can I get better? Well, Dave Canales was supposed to be the answer because his offensive coordinator prowess, another one of those guys that made a name for himself with some creative and innovative and kind of on the edge type of coaching. And it worked for the Buccaneers Kind of. I mean, the Buccaneers didn't have any great offense last year either. But in the NFC South, they were familiar with him in Carolina. He got that job. And now two games in, he's the one who stood in front of the microphones and told us that Andy Dalton gives the Panthers a better opportunity to win. I always think it's interesting when people around the league react to the news. So, for instance, you've got a bunch of guys who are taking to social media to support Bryce Young. Hey, this is not the end. Keep your head up, so to speak. You'll get another opportunity. You hear that from other guys who maybe been through the situation themselves or want to encourage him, which I appreciate. Also, Micah Parsons. So the Dallas Cowboys top pass rusher and best defender, I guess if you're of the same opinion as me, he likes to talk about the various topics, headlines around the NFL, including his own team. And we heard from him last hour as he was, I don't know whether or not I agree with him or whether or not the rest of the team agrees with him, but as he was pointing to the lack of effort that the Cowboys gave against the Saints. But he also did talk about Tua, for instance, and he talked about Bryce Young getting benched by the Panthers and doesn't believe that they're treating him the way he deserves to be treated.
They decide to bench him after, you know, 2 weeks, and they saying his people are shocked, and I'm shocked as well. I don't think he's getting a fair shake at this, but I'm noticing this a lot, especially and these young quarterbacks, right? They're not getting them growing opportunities. You look at, you know, the Kenny Picketts. You look at the Justin Fields. Caleb is having this kind of similar struggles as Justin Fields. I just think we're expecting QBs to come into this league and kind of be like, right now, without no talent, without no real assets around them, and say, hey, it's time to be good right now. I don't think we're developing these young quarterbacks at the same rate as these other quarterbacks.
Interesting, because Tom Brady said the same thing preseason. Remember, he was doing the circuit speaking engagements, and he was also speaking at Fanatics Fest, I think it was called, in which he kind of went off on that same rant. We're asking too much of these young quarterbacks, and we're throwing them into the fire, but they're not ready. And then they bear the brunt, of course, because teams are impatient, but also because when you've got a quarterback who's not ready, you're stunting his development as opposed to helping him along by giving him reps. So it's a fine line to walk. Brady was indicating that he thinks all quarterbacks should sit a year, and he pointed not just back to his own career, but even Patrick Mahomes sat for the first year until the very end of that regular season, his first year with the Chiefs. So it certainly does benefit. The issue, of course, is that in the case of David Tepper and the Panthers, part of the reason why they drafted Bryce Young was to put butts in the seats, right? Bright, young, Heisman Trophy winner. Let's get him out there. Let's see what he can do. Let's start fresh. Except that's all really David Tepper knows how to do is hit the reset button, hit the reset button, hit the reset button, or crumple up the piece of paper, throw it out, and start over. And that's not going to work with people. It's not going to work with a football team, because constant change equals constant losing. And it's not just about Bryce Young and his development and maybe being out there before they have an offensive line that can protect him. It's also about the fact that he's now had three different head coaches, multiple offensive coordinators, different voices calling plays. Of course, they're changing systems again with Dave. And yeah, I mean, the point is always made, preseason is not a great testing ground. Now, he's been through a few months now, different mini camps and practices with Dave Canales and with the new system, but it's still a lot to ask, especially when the O-line is not protecting him and what are the weapons around him. It's the catch 22 of being drafted number one overall. Guys will tell you, yeah, that's what we want, that's what we want. In the case of the Panthers, they traded to get that number one pick, but he's been thrown into a situation where his development, again, is, while they may say it's paramount and it's the number one thing, the impatience and the desire to turn the Titanic around on, you know, on a dime, it's just not going to happen that way. There needs to be stability. There needs to be consistency. There needs to be, and maybe Dave Canales is the right guy to work with him. But here's Dave, their new head coach. And we do believe that there was input from on high, if you will. Maybe it doesn't go all the way up to Tepper, but maybe it does. We know he was involved in the decision to draft Bryce Young, and it is his team. It's a business. But we know at least the front office was involved. Here's Dave having to stand in front of a microphone and talk about how Andy Dalton gives us the best chance to win week number three. So which is it? Are you committed to building? And sometimes that can be a slow burn, especially if you are starting from the very bottom, which they are. You're starting over again. It doesn't happen overnight. Establishing your culture, getting the right people in place that will buy into your culture. Think about the Detroit Lions, right? They had to start fresh again. So did the Dolphins with Mike McDaniel. I mean, there's a lot of things that you have to do to take these big steps that they want. And just throwing a rookie quarterback out there, in the case of the Panthers last year, isn't always the best option. But still, how does it help you as a franchise establish that winning culture, bring your young quarterback along if you immediately flip to someone else? And it's, right, it's a tug of war between needing to win now, needing to give your fan base some hope, needing to sell tickets and sell merchandise and have some reason for excitement and anticipation rather than people not wanting anything to do with you. But what do you do about your young QB that is supposed to be the franchise guy? If you don't give him reps, he's not going to figure it out. And the offensive line and the receivers and everybody else in the offense, they're not going to figure it out. It's a tough decision. It's a win now league, lots of impatience, but David Tepper really takes the cake when it comes to impatience. I mean, he is frontline when it comes to knee-jerk decisions, getting frustrated. We know we've heard stories of him in the hallways yelling after losses and how embarrassing and wanting to make a change or wanting to find the quick fix. And you continue to change everything and it's the opposite of a quick fix. It actually takes longer when you can't find some type of consistency and some type of foundation to build on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So heading into week number three, we'll see Andy Dalton. And there is a chance that they could end up winning. I mean, I'm Andy Dalton, he's a guy who can throw the football. We know he's seen a lot in the NFL. He's had some success, right, going back to his days with the Bengals. And, of course, he's been with Carolina now for a couple of years. Was he in Dallas, too? He was in Dallas as well, wasn't he? I want to make sure I don't forget any of the teams that he played for. The Saints. He was with the Saints for a year, right? So the last few years, he's become a journeyman quarterback. But for years, he was with the Cincinnati Bengals and had some success. The rifle, what was his nickname? The red rifle. That might be politically incorrect now as well. The red rifle. So yeah, there is a chance he could end up helping to spark them to a win. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. It's just, how is that a long-term fix? Not that you want to boot him out of the league. I'm not saying he's too old, but how does that help you establish a culture or figure out what you need for the future?
So he's been with five teams.
Five teams. Okay. Hold on. Bengals.
Okay.
Cowboys.
Okay.
Panthers.
Okay.
Saints.
Okay.
Uh-oh. What am I missing?
The last one.
The last one meaning the most recent one before the Panthers? Huh.
Actually, he was in Carolina once before. Oh, no, wait, hold on.
His second year in Carolina.
I looked at it wrong. My apologies. This is not the last one. This is another team.
Oh, no, I don't know. I got four of the five.
Bears.
The Bears.
21.
Oh. Huh. So was he there at the same time as Nick Foles? Do they have two veteran quarterbacks behind? Shoot, the Bears quarterbacks. Gosh, they've had such a revolving door. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky was there, and they weren't sure about Mitch Trubisky. And that experience didn't work out. And then, I feel like they had Justin Fields right after him, but also they've had some veterans as backups.
So they had Fields, and they had Foles,
yep,
and they had Dalton.
Okay, they did. So I remember they had a couple of veterans behind Justin Fields. So
and David Montgomery was on the roster.
Foles was with Trubisky, but then was still there. They brought in Dalton, and they drafted Justin Fields. gosh, life comes at you fast when you are an NFL team and you can't find your quarterback. So, that's kind of the cycle that Carolina is stuck in now. They keep trying. It's like taking, I don't know if Italian grandmothers, yours ever did this, but taking a piece of spaghetti and throwing it against the wall to see if it sticks, or a dartboard. Just, hey, let's throw a couple of darts at the dartboard and see what we come up with. That can't be how you build your team. It can't be how you find your franchise quarterback. It certainly can't be how you establish a winning culture. So all of that is a pain. So the Panthers this weekend will take on the Raiders, and they're on the road. So there's a nice long road trip. But again, Andy Dalton could very well come up with a huge game, and they could end up winning. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they can get a couple of wins with Andy, but how does that advance you as a team and as a franchise? And then what do you do about Bryce Young? Because he's not going to get better unless you give him the reps and if you give him the proper teaching and training. Also coming up this weekend, we've got this NFC West game that likely would have had maybe more interest had it not been for all the injuries. So the Rams are missing a couple of offensive linemen. They're missing their top two receivers in Puka and Cooper Kupp. Well, the Niners are missing Christian McCaffrey, as well as now Deebo Samuel. But this is kind of interesting. Deebo and Brandon Ayuk, who got paid right before the season kicked off, they were collaborating on the Cleats and Convos podcast. Cleats and Convos. I like it. Everybody's got cute names for their podcast. Our show is kind of boring compared to some of these others. Maybe we need to change the name. Cleats and Convos with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. And they actually are okay with where the Niners are right now.
Me personally, I felt like we have one of the greatest football teams to ever be assembled. Personally, that's how I feel. I see it every day. I know we know what we have to do. We know what it looks like. There's only one thing left to do. So it's really just focusing on that.
What is it going to take to get you over the hump and finally hold that Lombardi trophy?
Be your best self. And like, as long as you know you left it all out there and like win, lose, or draw, like as long as you know you gave it everything, it's like you ain't got no regrets at all. My eyes, like, we've been on the best team in the league for a while.
All right, so they are not lacking in confidence at all.
Not whatsoever.
No, despite the fact that right now they're missing Christian McCaffrey, and Deebo actually is going to be out for a bit. But honestly, the Christian McCaffrey is not an excuse, because Jordan Mason has had over 100 yards in each of their first two games. I know he's not Christian McCaffrey, and CMC can both catch the ball and break through a line, and he can drag defenders with him. And that dude is so strong. And he's real versatile. So he can do pretty much anything with the football that you want him to do, except for maybe break a go route and get behind the defense. But I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't put that past him. Anyway, they are clearly okay with the fact that they started out 1-1, still have the best team assembled. We know about our work ethic. We know about the quality, the people that we have, the coaching, blah, blah, blah. And doesn't sound like they're worried at all, including Deebo Samuel. But that's Ayuk and Deebo on the Cleats and Convos podcast. I do not know who the female is. I wish that I did. I would give her credit, but I do not know. I'm trying to search for it even now as I throw it out there. But it's with Deebo Samuel. It's his weekly show, Cleats and Convos, and he's got someone along with him, which is nice. Yay! It does help in case you need someone who's got some journalistic background or journalistic experience. Week 3, it's nearly here. Are you kidding? I'm, at this point, trying not to react, right? Because I tell you guys, tap the brakes a little bit. Let's not react. But it is kind of funny to look at the early season standings always. And one of the divisions that is a little upside down at this point is the NFC West. Seahawks are 2-0. But they will take on the Dolphins this coming weekend without Tua Tagovailoa, who's now hit IR. We know it's Skylar Thompson. And had a chance to catch up with a Seahawks insider about their 2-0 start under a coach who was hired to be the exact opposite of Pete Carroll. So before the hour is up, we'll bring back just a couple of minutes of that conversation, because the Seahawks played the Patriots in week number two. That game went into overtime. And Geno Smith, I mean, he's looking like the veteran quarterback that they need him to be. And they still have a great receiving core. I know they were without their top running back, but Mike McDonald's there to establish a defense. And what kind of a team does he want them to be? Is it so different from Pete Carroll? So a really good conversation with Greg Bell in Seattle. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Also on our Facebook page. It's good to have you. Good to connect with you. It is our hump show, your hump day. We're going to crush it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Even as we are talking about football, because we talk about football, did you see why Jose Altuve got ejected from a game in San Diego last night? If you didn't, we'll have all the deets for you. And his explanation might be the funniest part. But, you know, there are 11 games left in baseball's regular season, and we've had a couple of guys who've gone through some droughts. Late in the year, we were on Aaron Judge home run watch, and he was on pace to break his own personal record from a couple years ago. And then how long was it, Pete, that he went without hitting a home run? It was a couple weeks at least.
It was August 25th, and it came back the last week.
Right, so he went a couple of weeks and just that was, it's not as though he wasn't productive. He certainly has still been hitting the ball. Lots of doubles, plenty of RBI. He leads the majors in runs batted in without, you know, without any question. But he just wasn't able to get or wasn't hitting home runs. So he finally had a couple last week. Bryce Harper also was able to get back on the home run train. He had one right after Aaron Judge, but then also had one last night as the Phillies beat the Brewers. So now you've got both Milwaukee and Philadelphia with the magic number of one to clinch the playoffs. And I think for Milwaukee, it might actually be to clinch the NL Central. So we'll be on watch for that tonight, of course. But the other one that kind of slowed down was the 50-50 train for Shohei Ohtani. No player has ever had 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a single season. Well, Ohtani was cruising toward that. And then, and it's kind of crazy, right? I think it just has to be end of the year and guys have had a lot of games, a lot of hours at the ballpark, a lot of wear and tear. In the series against the Braves, he went four games, which hasn't happened since early June, is what I read. Four games without hitting a home run or stealing a base. And they split that series, actually. And
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It wasn't like they got crushed the whole time. And so he had gone those 4 days and had been on 47 home runs and 48 stolen bases until last night he hit number 48. Now the Dodgers lost to the Marlins, but he's now at 48 and 48. And he says there's no pressure when it comes to this. He's just trying to put together quality at bats. But did you grab the Dave Roberts? Oh, okay. So
it's only in written right now.
Okay. So Dave Roberts was talking about, though, he felt like it actually is on Ohtani's mind and that it's something that would probably be a relief once it was done. And I am sure that's the truth. Even if he is Shohei Ohtani and he tries to keep a lot of his emotions tucked away and just focus on business and go to work, Aaron Judge is the same way. But after the fact, 2 years ago, when he finally set the new American League home run record, with all the attention that was on him, he did say that he, not so much the pressure, but just there was some anxiety associated with it. And so in this case, even if he doesn't acknowledge what Dave Roberts has indicated is that, yeah, he's definitely thinking about it. And surely you go through four games in the latter stages of a season and you don't have a home run and you don't have a stolen base and all this buildup. He's still already got a career high in both those categories, and the Dodgers are well on their way to another division title and a spot in the playoffs and a chance to capitalize on this season of his, but 11 games to go. Dun, 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 dun. Now it's time to scoreboard watch. For months I've been saying, it's too early, it's too early, it's too early. Now it's time to scoreboard watch. And also, it's time to follow the Astros and... You know, anytime Jose Altuve does anything even remotely suspicious, well, we have to focus because you never know. It might be proven that the man is still a big fat cheater. Just kidding. That's not the case. But I do think it's funny that he still gets booed royally in many places where he goes. Well, he pulled out a new trick last night in San Diego.
That hits Altuve's foot. They're going to say fair ball. Brendan Miller is going to say that ball didn't hit Altuve, and that's going to be the final out of the inning. Brendan Miller is not ingratiating himself to Astros players, coaches, or manager.
You got to ask for help.
You got to check with other umpires to see if it did hit Altuve.
Altuve needs to be pulled out of the situation. They need to keep him in this game.
Too late.
They're going to say that's a fair ball, and it did not hit Altuve in the end of the inning. Josh Hader taking the mound here for the bottom half of the ninth inning. Altuve showing where it hit his foot. And now he's ejected.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
You're right, though. They should have got Altuve out of there. He's been ejected. We're going to have a tie game heading to the bottom of the ninth. Altuve will limp off the field. This game is crazy.
So... that's the call on TV, but I don't know which network, Pete, so you have to let me know. Essentially what happens is a ball caroms off the bat of Jose Altuve, and it hits his toe. And instead of calling it a foul ball, he gets called out. And
Space City Home Network, that's the Astros television.
Okay, so Astros TV. Sorry, I've not heard those guys before. I just knew that wasn't Robert Ford and Steve Sparks. So he insisted that he had fouled the ball off his foot. And in order to prove it to the umpire and anybody else who was paying attention, he takes off his cleat and then he peels off his sock to try to show the umpires where the ball was hit. He promptly gets tossed, as you hear on that TV call, because he keeps arguing even after he's out there in his bare feet. I mean, it's sort of funny. I have seen the video of it, and it's, yeah, it's pretty hysterical. Right in the middle. Well, it wasn't in the middle of the game. It was the late stages of the game. But this one did go into extras, and it was hotly contested. And so, yes, Altuve gets tossed, maybe for the first time in history, for removing his shoe and his sock in this Astros victory. But he had a reason for it.
I'm battling against a good pitcher, Suarez, the closer. So I'm obviously trying to get a hit and drive the run in and win the game. So, you know, I get a foul ball because it hit my foot. And, you know, they just took it away from me. So I don't think that can happen. But these four guys on the field, you got to see the change of direction on the ball and, you know, just make the right call. Sometimes you get hit somewhere in the hand and you take your batting glove to show that you got hit. I was expecting to do the same thing.
Sometimes you get hit on the hand and you take off your batting glove to show the umpire where you got hit. Well, I decided to do the same thing. I got hit on my toe. And it's pretty clear. I'm not sure how they missed it. I know they're humans. Umpires are humans. But isn't that the point of having the replay there? Maybe it wasn't something that they were going to look back at. But here he is. He's in a battle against a good pitcher, as you hear him say. He's trying to get a hit. You've got a run on second base, so a runner in scoring position. He wants to get that hit and drive in the run, and so the Astros can win the game. And there's a foul ball that goes off his toe, and he says, they just took it away from me instead of giving him that foul ball. Then promptly peels off his sock and his shoe, and the photos are amazing. That's my favorite part. Is the video is funny, but you're going to be seeing all these still photos of Jose Altuve standing out there in the dirt near home plate, and he's got one cleat on and one stirrup on and then one barefoot with his pant rolled up. All right, let's go. It's late in the year. It's a battle for a division title, but mostly guys are just exhausted. It's been a long haul. He decided he wanted to demonstrate his bruised toe. All right. No one needs to see that at work. No one needs to see an athlete's foot. Nope. Put your sock back on. But seriously, the photos are really funny. I might have to use one of those, or maybe we can use one of those on our podcast. Just Jose Altuve's barefoot, and you can caption the photo yourself. Or maybe that'll intrigue people to listen to the podcast. Or maybe it'll do the opposite. And they'll be so grossed out by Jose Altuve's barefoot that they decide they want nothing to do with our podcast or our radio show forever. Now, is this the same as him tearing off his jersey to point out that he had no buzzers on his body? Same thing? Along the same line. What? Why is it that Jose Altuve feels the need to undress himself to prove a point?
I mean, you might want to abandon that
strategy.
Please.
Stop it. We don't need to see any more of you, Jose Altuve.
Put it on.
At A-Law Radio, thanks for voting for Touchdown Tuesday. It was an overwhelming winner, by the way. We'll reveal it coming back. I got to agree with you. And also on our Facebook page, thanks for all your questions for Ask Amy. A little bit more of the football to be mixed in before the top of the hour because it's that time of the year. Here's our latest sports update. Here's Marco Belletti. He's got his shoes on.
Infinity Sports Network.
Please.
Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, well, the Dolphins will have to make do without Tua Tagovailoa for at least 4 weeks. Placed on IR as he remains in concussion protocol after suffering his third in the last two seasons. Miami will now be in the hands of Skylar Thompson. He's your starter. Newly signed Tyler Huntley off the Ravens practice squad serving as the backup. His head coach, Mike McDaniel, likes having another veteran, but Thompson is his number one.
I do think that it helps the dynamics of the room and to give another guy with starting history to this team and gives another added addition of a guy that's a signal caller that a team can get behind.
Meanwhile, the Steelers remain in the hands of Justin Fields, who'll get the call Sunday against the Chargers. Pittsburgh will try to make it three straight wins to begin the season, as Russell Wilson's still not a full participant due to his calf injury. As for that petty game ball stuff that Fields mentioned giving Wilson after they beat the Broncos, don't look for Mike Tomlin to explain the situation any further.
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams. that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public. You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Elsewhere, the Chiefs have brought back running back Kareem Hunt. That to their practice squad. And center Isaiah Pacheco was placed on IR. Checking baseball, the Yankees punished the Mariners 11-2. Juan Soto is 40th homer of the season, 7th fastest to 200 career home runs. Astros survived the Padres 4-3-10. Twins handled the Guardians 4-1. Giants dominate the Orioles 10-0 as Blake Snell struck out 12 over 6 innings of one-hit ball. Rays too much for the Red Sox, 8-3. Mets disposed of the Nationals, 10-1. Pete Alonso went deep, drove in 5. Cardinals, 3. Pirates, 1. Reds came back on the Braves, 6-5. They came back from 5-1 down. Spencer Steer, your go-ahead, 2-run shot in the 7th. Marlins outscored the Dodgers, 11-9, despite home run number 48 on the season for Shohei Ohtani. Tigers outlasted the Royals, 3-1-10. Rockies lit up the D-backs, 8-2. Rangers overpowered the Blue Jays, 13-8. Phillies erased the Brewers, 5-1. A's upend the Cubs, 4-3. And the Angels blanked the White Sox, 5-0. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Darnold under center. Play action to Jones. Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson. Yes! Caught at the 50. Heads left to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Touchdown! A 97-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson.
We practiced that play time and time again. I mean, we didn't practice it being on the 3-yard line and us going 97, but it was just a great, great ball by Sam to really trust the double team and for me to run right through it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Justin Jefferson wasn't planned that way, but man, sometimes it's dynamic. Sam Darnold from his end zone to a Justin Jefferson who took it 97 yards to the house. Your choice for TD of the week here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Paul Allen with the call on the Vikings Radio Network. Let's see what week 3 has in store for the undefeated Vikings with Sam Darnold at the helm. Of course, lots of teams already dealing with injuries, whether it's to skill players or on the lines or obviously to quarterbacks. And Tua Tagovailoa, we know he's now on IR, so the Dolphins are turning to Skylar Thompson. Their next opponent is the 2-0 Seahawks. Seahawks got a victory in overtime against the Patriots on Sunday, and they didn't have much of a run game to speak of. Instead, Mike McDonald had a quarterback, Geno Smith, who was locked in.
That was a heck of a performance, man. I think, just like Geno, there's a little chip on his shoulder. I like it because they just keep sleeping on this guy. He played at a super high level, so he deserves all the credit that he's getting right now. He's playing his tail off.
Mike McDonald, the youngest head coach in the NFL, and he's got the Seahawks off to a 2-0 start. Had a chance to catch up with Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune. He's a longtime Seahawks insider, and I asked him his reaction to how they've gotten to 2-0.
Relatively easy in terms of the schedule, what's to come, Amy. When looking at the schedule coming in, it looked like the softest landing for Mike McDonald and his new systems. Denver was supposedly the weakest, on paper, the weakest home opponent they had, and they're starting a rookie quarterback in week 1, Bo Nix. And on paper, in their road schedule, New England starting over, new coach, new regime post to Belichick, with a holder, really a fill-in quarterback until Drake May takes over. That's what weeks 1 and 2 have been. So the Seahawks have been far from perfect, as most teams are. Their defensive line hasn't stopped the run consistently. They gave up 185 yards to the Patriots on the ground. Their offensive line hasn't played well at all. Geno Smith won that game in New England on Sunday almost by himself. 33 completions, a career high, 327 yards. They threw it 44 times, which is not what Ryan Grubb, the new offensive coordinator, wants to do, but he had to do it because the offensive line was doing nothing and Kenneth Walker, their lead back, was hurt. So this doesn't at all look like the team Mike McDonald wants it to be, a physical line of scrimmage team, but they still got away with 2 wins because of the opponents they played. it gets tougher now. They're going to get a parent break with Miami and, of course, Tua Tagovailoa's situation with the concussions. And Skylar Thompson's going to start against Seattle on Sunday. So there's another quarterback that won't be the top ones they face later on in the season. But then it gets tougher. They go to Detroit on a Monday night. They've got on a Thursday night game in a couple weeks, San Francisco coming in, which they've yet to figure out in the last couple years, the team they have to beat to win the division. But they have gotten themselves a soft landing to ramp up and learn more of Mike McDonald's system. It's still a work in progress that their record really doesn't portray right now.
Well, how come it's taking so long?
Well, McDonald is trying to do the full meal deal of what he did in Baltimore with Seattle, and that's going to take a while. What is that? Well, it's disguising coverages. It's, are they in two high coverage? Are they in one high coverage? Moving a safety at the snap. It's defensive ends that drop into coverage, outside linebackers. It's defensive tackles that sometimes drop into coverage with zone blitzes. It's linebackers faking blitzes. It's doing all of it, sometimes in a one-word command right before the snap and changing the look that the quarterback just had. And they're still trying to figure all that out. They're still missing assignments. They're still not going to the right places. McDonald hasn't given them the full tableau of complexity that he ran with Baltimore when they had such a great defense last year. Every team can really say this, Amy, but the Seahawks, especially on defense, will definitely be better in November, December than they are now because they're going to do more on defense than they're doing now. The process was going to take long from the start because of all McDonald wants to do. Players have never done it before, and it's going to take a while.
Greg Bell is with us from Seattle talking about those Seahawks who will get the Dolphins this weekend without Tua Tagovailoa. He's now on IR, so Skylar Thompson it is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I think we talked when Mike McDonald first got the job and how he was hired to be the opposite of Pete Carroll, but what's his coaching and management style?
He's very demanding. He's very direct. The players talk about, they use words like blunt, no nonsense. He's much different than Carroll. Carroll will put his arm around, used to put his arm around players and be a father and even a grandfather to them in his 70s. And McDonald's different. McDonald will yell at players for not running to the ball. He cut a player 2 weeks after the joint practices I watched in Nashville with the Titans, a rookie corner, a draft pick. He cut him because he wasn't running to the ball from all the way across the field as a right cornerback on a sweep to the left. He demands players. I saw in training camp that some younger players, first and second year players, went straight into the locker room after they adjourned from practice. And he had told the team that they should all be on the line of fans along the sideline to give out autographs and pictures after practice. Well, a few players didn't do that. He had an assistant go in and fish all of those players out and demanded they go and sign autographs.
Wow.
So he sets a standard. He's big on accountability. And he's a self-described football nerd. He loves the X's and O's. His head is constantly in the tablet in between series. He's constantly looking at his play card. He's very emotionless during games. He is constantly studying the chess match at the football. He loves that. He loves to talk about schemes and variations and tendencies. He loves the eaches of defensive football in particular. Where Carroll was more, he was defensive steeped, of course, Carroll was. But he was more of a personality, motivational guy, the guy who run up and down the sideline screaming and yelling and patting guys on the back. Players have to go up to McDonald to get reaction to him during games and pat him on the back because he's so stoic. I find him to be very engaging and extremely intelligent. That's another word that all these players use about how smart he is. He seems to be one step ahead of everything in life, whether it's on or off the field, that he's always thinking about what's next, not what's happening now. So far, Amy, he's never said this to us, to me in particular, the times I've talked to him, but I think he wants to do more than he's able to do right now in this stage of his regime. Later on, he's going to be layered and have these players be experts in his defense. They're not even close to that yet. And when they get there, if he can find the right combination of players to the scheme he's doing, they're going to be really damn good. They're light years from there right now because of the expertise is so new.
Lots of interest, of course, lots of familiarity with Mike McDonald in the AFC North and in Baltimore, where he was the defensive coordinator. And I thought it was interesting to hear from Greg that it's actually not coming along as quickly as he would like, because he's essentially pulling out the plants at their roots and replanting and starting over. But also really like the contrast that he paints between Pete Carroll and Mike McDonald's style. It's kind of interesting because you might think that a younger guy would be less of a serious disciplinarian, not that he isn't, you know, smart and engaging, but just very focused and locked in. But maybe that's how he got to this point at just, what is he, 36, right? I don't know if he's had a birthday since the last time he got hired, but he's in his mid-30s. So good stuff with Greg. If you missed the conversation, you want to hear more, there is more on Gino. We also talked a little bit about the Pac-2 with the expansion plans and what it means to Washington State to have won the Apple Cup, and also why they're a great team to root for. He says it would be incredible to see them go 12-0 and make it into the college football playoff. We'll do a little more college football on our Wednesday night show. Interesting stuff about Coach Sark at Texas regarding his quarterbacks, with Quinn Ewers being a Heisman frontrunner but injured, and Arch Manning taking over and having a record game with the 5 touchdowns. And Texas has leapfrogged Georgia into number 1 in the AP poll. So we'll talk about that. Also, it's the last week of the WNBA regular season, so the playoffs are on the horizon, just like baseball. There's really good stuff out there in the world of sports, but all of it is a ramp up to October, the busiest month of the entire calendar when it comes to sports, where all 4 major team sports are in operation. So, yeah, you've got hoops and hockey that are coming back. You've got the baseball playoffs, obviously football, plus college football, which is humongous. Now you've got the Caitlin Clark headlines in the WNBA playoffs, which I will admit we have never spent a lot of time on the past, but we will because of Caitlin Clark and the fact that every time the Fever play a game, they get at least 1 million viewers on TV. So that's going to continue into the postseason where the stakes are ratcheted up. So go crush your hump day. We're back here tonight. Always good to have you. And check out the podcast, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.